Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope, and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode, I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma, as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. And today is part four of our series on trauma, and I have with me pioneering medical physician Dr. Sangeeta, who is the founder of Unified Human Foundation and Conscious Cancer Program. And here is Dr. Sangeeta for our fourth episode, right?
Yes.
Yay! It's great to see you again now in the new year. And yeah, I know today's going to be a very positive session, a lot of exploration, and you know, just something to really feed the mind and to really question oneself. So I'm really excited. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Anu, for having me again, and obviously thank you to your listeners for their time and their attention and for listening to what I have to share. Yes, this is, I want to wish everybody a very, very happy new year, and let's hope and let's bring in some new energies, new outlooks, new perspectives, new ideas, new habits, new behaviors, just a fresh, really fresh start.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a wonderful way to begin and bring in the new year. So, and also I think loosening up, relaxing, and allowing, you know, what's here, to see what's here and see how we're going to move with it and how we're going to, you know, apply some of these things and, you know, allow things to just sit with us, and but in a more sort of aware and conscious way, rather than just in a sort of unconscious zombie way of just receiving and then, you know, behaving. So I think this is what I'm finding for myself in this new year is new years, especially the beginning, the first week of January, always bring in this sort of wonderful, hopeful, positive energy of, hey, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And it's such a brilliant space. That's why, you know, most of the world, we kind of make New Year resolutions in the hope that we'll be able to carry them through throughout the year if we can manage it on the first day. So one of the things that I really wanted to look at in our final session today is I'd really like us and your listeners to maybe think about, even if right now they don't have a pen and paper, or if they're listening to this as a recording, to maybe get a pen and paper and just write down this question and then write down what comes from asking yourself, themselves, ourselves, this question. What would my life be like without trauma? And just see what comes and what flows as answers or insights following this question.
I think that question, obviously for us, you know, we can answer that, but I'm thinking with somebody who's so heavily within their trauma, it might be a bit difficult to see that light, the, you know, the positive life, because they're just so stuck in it, right?
But we've got imagination, right?
We have, yeah. So I guess it's about trying to get, you know, trying to get through that darkness and to actually see the light, just see where life could actually take you. If you just put aside.
If you don't think that you can do it, maybe you can imagine what sort of life or what things, even if it's a fantasy,
Yeah.
What are the things that really you are attracted to?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that, oh my God, I'm going to make this happen, and therefore it has to be realistic. And, you know, it's so different from my reality right now and how I'm feeling, blah, blah, blah. Forget about all that. That's all like head speak, mind speak. Let's just forget about that. Let's go into the realm of pure imagination and fantasy. So what would life, my life, be like without trauma? Even if you don't think that it's possible, but just imagine what it would be like.
No,
and nobody, you know, nobody can stop us from using our imagination.
No, not at all. Okay.
That's a really good question. So, wow, I guess, you know, for me, without trauma, I just see so much joy and fulfillment and just a life of just limitless opportunities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share a little key slash secret of the universe. Even if it is somebody's imagination, if it's your imagination, when you imagine something, you're giving your mind's energy a direction in which to flow. Even if you don't believe it, even if you don't think it's possible, just by imagining it, we're giving the mind a direction in which to flow. So we none of us absolutely know goal outcomes, but we can steer in the right direction. And that's what's really important, because once the universe knows, or God, or, you know, a higher power, whatever you want to label it, something that is more powerful and bigger than us, once that knows what direction we want to go, it can then come in and help us and support us to go in that direction. But if the universe doesn't know what direction you want to take, then it can't support us and help us. So even if somebody feels like, oh my God, you know, I want to be single, or I want to be in a happy, committed relationship, or whatever it is that you want, then the universe can help us to get out of what we're in into something else. It may not be the relationship, it may be something different, but it will help us and support us. So this is where we use energy, you know, and people, I've seen it because I've worked with a lot of trauma people in trauma, and it's exhausting, Anu, to sit in that trauma. It's more exhausting to hold and sit in that trauma than it is to flow out of it, actually.
I can totally relate with that. And I guess it's the same as when we sit with our depression. It's so exhausting just sitting with those dark thoughts, and it can really drain us. And I think to actually think positively, it's a lot more lighter if we can think more positively, and if we can think a bit more, like that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Can be such a life changer, right? And I think what you're saying is, because we go on about this quite a lot when it comes to, you know, coaching and trying to create a more fulfilling life. A lot of people create vision boards, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like to I'd say set goals, but I know, you know, setting goals is quite a controversial topic right now, because you know, a lot of people don't really believe in setting goals, even though they have been proven to be effective. From Harvard University, there was some research, wasn't there, where they said that by actually writing down your goals, you're about 95% more likely to achieve them, right? So I know, you know, goal setting's a controversial topic, but I still believe in setting goals because I feel that we need that. We need that vision. We need something to work towards. And we need, you know, maybe they're called performance goals. And, you know, maybe we do, you know, if it's just getting out of bed like half an hour early every morning, you know, just something small, something achievable, which we can obviously achieve easily. And, you know, so we're not setting ourselves too vast of a, you know, of a goal. Like, for example, if you've been eating meat all your life and you say, I'm going to become a vegetarian. Sometimes it might be difficult and you might have to cut out the meats gradually, whereas, you know, some people, it can be quite easy just cutting out the meat for good.
So. Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. And for me, goal setting is much more about ritual and routine and discipline. And so it is very, very important, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, getting too inflexible and attached and rigid about the goal is also not healthy, which is why, as you say, goal setting is a little bit controversial. But if we take it more as a sort of ritual, like you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, etc., etc., and sort of that's a ritual too. And we need that ritual because we need some routine to structure our day and our time. So we need goals to be able to structure our life plan. And like you said, we need to take small steps, and those small steps accumulative, and then eventually, and we don't realize it, we reach whatever we're aiming for. But yes, I think that looking at something very far away is overwhelming and you give up. Whereas if you can look at something an hour from now, then it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's with that principle about staying present, because I know, you know, with the traumatic brain, where a lot of us are stuck in the past, or, you know, some of us might be stuck in the future, but it's so difficult to be present because you just haven't got that mindset, have you, to be present, because you're just so stuck in your head. So, and I think that's quite difficult as well for people to actually feel that presence. And I know, you know, you do a lot of the meditations, which are really beneficial for a present state of mind. So I do highly recommend my listeners to, you know, try and meditate, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, just start, because I just feel that that's going to be the solution for everybody, for the whole world.
I'll tell you something, you know, what's more powerful for me, because I completely agree with what you've said about being present. But I think it's more than just being present. The easiest way to be present is to be in your body. So if you're actually physically doing something, then you're present. Whereas if you're sitting and meditating, because meditation has many forms. It's not, there's not one way to meditate. Sometimes I do a visualization meditation. Sometimes I do a walking meditation. Sometimes I do a writing meditation. Sometimes, you know, it's all different practices depending on what I feel I need. So with people who are, I agree with you, kind of stuck in that trauma situation, I really always recommend move, go for a walk, focus on the walk, you know, and focus if you can, if you are lucky and fortunate enough to be around a park or even, you know, a garden or wherever, and you can be a little bit in nature and you can do a walk, do it, by all means do it, because that immediately gets you into your body, because you have to, because your body's moving. You know, it stops your, it takes away some of the energy and the thoughts from your head and focuses that energy into your body physically. So, and of course we know that, you know, moving and walking and exercising is so healthy for us anyway.
Yes. So, I fully agree with you regarding, you know, the fact that it's not just about sitting there in silence. You know, we could even meditate when we're going for a walk. A lot of people find exercising quite meditational.
Start again. Yeah, because physical exercise is actually, you know, it's the easiest way to get out of your head very, very quickly. And one of the things that I really want to mention here is all the things that we talk about in mental health. Now, I completely understand and I know that when you are in it, everything seems so challenging and dark, and you feel incredibly stuck and imprisoned within yourself, and you really don't know how to get out. I completely understand that. Having said that, talking from the other side, once you're out and looking in and trying to help somebody to get out, it's not as difficult as it seems when they're in it. And therefore, to be able to do simple things which are free, you don't need a therapist, you don't need a professional. They're things that you can do yourself every day. These little small steps which everybody can take. Things like walking, things like writing down every morning a routine of what you want to do during the day. Simple little things. And making sure that you do them and then tick them off. I still do that. It's going to sound funny, but I get such a kick out of making my little routines and then ticking it off. Oh my God, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. You know, I mean, it sounds very, but ultimately it is about simplicity, Anu. And living in the very complicated world that we live in, we've lost that touch and that connection with simplicity. And the things that actually make a difference are the simple things: good sleep, good food, nutritious food. And most nutritious food, Anu, is simple food. It's not, you know, rich or highly sophisticated food. And, good messages, happy messages. These are simple, simple things in life. And we just lost touch with that. And we got sucked into the matrix of complexity. And we can get out of it just as quickly as we got sucked in. That's the message that I really want our listeners to embrace for the beginning of this year, is that it's simple, and when it's simple, you can do it. And when you can do it, you can get out of it.
I love that. So it's all about a simplistic way of life and just, appreciating where we are. And even, you know, when you're eating like your breakfast and lunch and dinner and just actually, again, it's trying to enjoy every bite that you have of the food, because that's something else that I see so much in the Western world. I don't know if it's the same, in the Eastern cultures, but people, they're just scoff down their food so fast. Yeah. They're just not, you know, embracing like and chewing the food as much as they should. And this is where, you know, the Ayurvedic principles come into play, because, you know, they say that we should be chewing food like 28 times, you know, before we actually swallow it. And even that, you know, I feel that that's quite meditational as well, if we just sit there and enjoy our food. So really,
I couldn't agree more with you. But you know what? I mean, those I think are still quite complex things to be aware of. Mm. But the simple things, like, you know, just even just looking and appreciating silence, or even just not even zoning out, but I've seen, like, one of the greatest blessings of working from home or of spending more time at home is the space that we have to be able to maybe do some cooking that we might not have done if we were going out to work. We've got time to appreciate even the ingredients that go into the food that we eat, and to be a little bit more conscious of what we're eating, because we now have time and can actually be more aware of what we're putting into the food. And we have the time to be a little bit more aware of, because we've got flexibility in our routines. We can go to bed when we feel like it. We can wake up a little bit, you know, more when we feel like it. And then, of course, I know that a lot of people have commented about the fact that during this time, flexible time, they've been able to put in an exercise routine, which they weren't able to do when they were working full time. And now they're able to reorganize their day so that they can do it. I very much believe that one of the greatest keys of getting out of trauma and a trauma mindset is mastering and managing your life. Because most people, when they are in the trauma mindset, they feel completely challenged. They can't manage their lives because they feel so imprisoned. And that's why taking baby steps is very important. Even, you know, saying, okay, I am going to wake up and the first thing that I'm going to do is drink a glass of water. Even something as small and basic as that, it's going to change your whole physical system. Because your body will wake up, you'll drink either normal water or a little bit lukewarm water, and your system will start. It'll wake up. It'll be like, huh? Okay, you give signals to your body and your mind that, hey, you know what? I'm in charge now. I can manage this. And you know what your body feels? I will tell you. Your mind and your body feels, oh, fantastic. Somebody is going to take care of me. At last, I don't have to take care of myself, and I don't have to feel anxious that I may not be able to take care of myself. Now this person inside me has woken up. And they're actually going to take care of me. Your body is absolutely ecstatic, believe me, when it knows that and you give it that signal.
Oh, wow. I love that. And that's where self-care, that's yep. where that comes in. And a lot of people do that. They neglect themselves, especially if you've got a family to look after and, you know, you're just having to cook and clean and look after the house. We forget to look after ourselves. I mean, even just sitting and watching a movie, just as simple as that, or just having a nice hot bath, simple as that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be a full-on going out and having a spa day, even though that would be nice.
But it really doesn't. I'm telling you, everything is there if only we choose to use it. Our issues are we're always attracted and seduced by what's out there.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate what's already around us.
That's true. Yeah, so we're so bothered looking at everyone else's lives and wishing that we had what someone else has. But at the end of the day, you know, if we were all the same, then the world would be so boring. So we have to appreciate our individuality and, you know, we have to appreciate ourselves and for this beautiful life that we've all been given. And I guess, you know, that's something that's changed my life is a bit of gratitude, just thanking the universe or God, you know, whoever it is that you believe in, just thanking them for giving you this beautiful life and just seeing what's good about your life. And again, just maybe writing down some great qualities about yourself, you know, what it is that you love about yourself. And again, I know this can be hard, but it's really helped, you know, my clients just writing down things that they're grateful for within themselves. Maybe it's stuff that you've achieved, you know, stuff that's brought you joy. Maybe it's your children in your life or your parents. Just anything that brings you joy. I think that's a really beautiful way to start a day. And that's what I do. I always thank God or the universe for, you know, this beautiful life that they've given me. And again, it just changes your whole mindset because you can't be stressed and worried and grateful. You know, it's just not possible. When you're grateful, it just creates a whole new leash of life. And again, I just feel like if you're grateful, that's when you can start to think about where you want your life to be.
I agree. And also I think that we start by not just being grateful for things that give us joy, but how about being grateful for, hello, I'm grateful that I can breathe today.
Yeah. Simple.
Well, simple, but we take it for granted. And I don't understand why do we take it for granted?
Because it's, I guess it's the parasympathetic. We don't need to think about it. It's just happening.
Okay, so even more reason to be grateful for it.
Yeah.
It may be happening automatically, but that's even more reason to be grateful for it because when it's happening automatically, we're unaware of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when we are grateful, we become aware of it.
Mm. Yeah. It's like, yeah, everything when it comes to our body systems, you know, the respiratory system, digestive system. And unless there's something that happens, some, you know, a fault with it, then you're right. We don't even acknowledge that anything's going on. Things are just happening. Yeah, you might experience some heartburn, but, you know, you just alkalize your system or take an antacid to sort that out. But other than that, you know, you don't even realize how amazing the body system is. And
I know, I'll share a story with you, which I love, by the way. In the ancient times, in ancient India and ancient China, doctors, physicians, they were called physicians then, they were hired by families. So you would pay a doctor and he would take care of your whole family. And if somebody got sick in the family, the doctor was fired because his job was not to actually treat somebody once they were ill. His job was to make sure that every family member, body, health, mind, was working optimally so that they could have the best quality of life possible. So what we've done is we've turned everything on its head. We pay physicians to treat us when we get sick. We notice our health when we get sick. We don't notice when we're well and keep ourselves in good health. And that's one of the major differences, you know, when we talk about the East and West, because modern medicine is a very Western concept. And the Western concept has really developed from pharmaceutical companies. And pharmaceutical companies obviously are invested in making sure that people buy their products. So in order to buy their products, you have to be sick. Otherwise, you wouldn't need their products. Now, in the East generally, I'm talking about the traditions, you know, they were vested in ensuring that they had good health, longevity, productive lives, and meaningful lives. And therefore, they were given herbs, they were given good food, they were given good climate, lifestyle medicine to make sure that they lived well and productively rather than treatment. Now, that's a very different lifestyle concept there. So meditation and yoga and exercise was all part of a very healthy lifestyle. So it was part of the lifestyle. It was not something that was given as a therapy.
That is interesting because I have been following the Ayurvedic principles, you know, the Ayurvedic way of living. And the first thing you see when you Google about Ayurveda is about the mercury poisoning.
No.
I know, right? And it's all these American studies that have taken place. And I just think, oh God, it's like you said on the phone the other day that the internet is here to frighten us.
Yeah. Well, they've got to sell products too, don't they?
Exactly. But I just think, goodness, you know, for me, Ayurveda's absolutely transformed my life. And, you know, to think that it can actually kill you, what? Yeah, so I wasn't very convinced by that, if I'm honest. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe back in the day there was some form of metals in some of these herbs because, you know, they say that, I know that, you know, in Ayurveda, they do believe that, you know, your body does require some metals. Again, you know, I don't know the full kind of
Anu, I'm an Ayurvedic teacher.
Oh, excellent.
And a practitioner. So with Ayurveda, there are certain formulations because Ayurveda is about everything that's available on the planet. Okay, so the herbs, the metals, the minerals, the vitamins, etc., all of it. Now, there are heavy metals. There are certain preparations which are given for certain disease states, like gold is given for arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. And arsenic is given in certain formulations. Now, the point is that arsenic in a very, very specific dose will actually alleviate the disease and the condition, and in a higher dose will poison you. So every material on this planet, it depends on the amount, the quantity, the dosage. It depends on the quality. It depends on, you know, the prescription. It depends on the person, the individual who and what disease they have, what condition they have, what are their predisposing, you know, ailments already. So it's in that way, when we go into it in depth, it's complex. But these general statements on the internet, they're just sweeping generalizations and definitely need to be taken with a huge pinch of salt. Having said that, I also feel very strongly about this because I have so many of my friends and relatives. During the pandemic, everybody was on the net and everybody had become like a homegrown doctor. They were all looking at stuff and self-prescribing and, you know, sharing and advising their friends and relatives of what to do, what to take. Of course, it's understandable. But having said that, remember that, you know, professionals who really know what they're talking about, they've been through many, many, many studies and researches and, you know, a lot of work and experience. So they've studied this. It's their work. So what you see on the internet, it's a general thing. You may see something and you'll say, hey, this looks really good. I want to take this. And then when you take it, it doesn't work because actually your body doesn't need it.
Yeah, which is why we should all be seeing an actual practitioner like yourself to diagnose us.
Because, well, yes, yeah. I mean, otherwise, why do they have training courses? Why do they have degrees? Why do they have universities set up for this? Well, if everybody could just do it off the internet and study it online, why would we need all of this? So, you know, be a little bit realistic here and, you know, use a bit of common sense. But like I said to you, there are certain things that are available to us immediately, simple things that we can do that we take care of ourselves. Yeah. And definitely food and lifestyle are things that are completely under our control. Mm-hmm. Growing our own food, like, you know, growing your own herbs, basil, oregano, or cilantro, you know, these things, tomatoes, cabbages, cucumbers, onions, spring onions, etc. These things we can actually very easily grow. It just takes a few seeds and a few plant pots. And boom, there you have it. And they grow themselves. You don't even need to really do that much. And there you have fresh herbs and fresh fruits available to you. Oh. It's wonderful. I must share this as well with your listeners and with all of us, is that I've now been seeing in London GP practices where the doctors have got, the practice has got like a little garden, and the practice is growing its own kitchen. It's got its own kitchen garden. It's growing its own vegetables. And they actually, you know, in the summer, I remember, because one of my friends was doing this, they encourage the patients to sit outside in the garden while they're waiting to see their GP, rather than sitting inside in a waiting room. So it's lovely, you know, the sort of little creative things and simple things that we can do anyway.
Just to connect with nature, which is what we should be doing on a daily basis. Yeah, exactly. I know it's difficult for those who live in the inner cities, you know, where there's a lot of buildings around, but in every city, there's always a park, right? It's just getting out to that park and just sitting there, you know, sitting on the grass and just be grounded and just connect. It's such a beautiful feeling.
And in a lot of inner city areas, you've got allotments as well. And you can easily go up to the allotments and, you know, have a poke around. Just I've seen people, their greatest therapy treatment that I've also encouraged is they just potter around in their garden or their allotment for half an hour every day. And that's their meditation and that's their healing therapy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I guess a lot of people, they love gardening for that reason as well. It's their place of sanctuary. Mm. Oh, beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's your takeaway message today then for my listeners?
My takeaway message is, okay, we're short-sighted, we're far-sighted. When we look into our future, which is instinctive, everybody does it. You don't need to be taught how to do it. When you look into your future, whether it's a week from now, or a month from now, or 3 months from now, I wouldn't really go beyond 3 months, but whatever it is, look at, imagine how you want it to be. Don't fixate and obsess that's how it's going to turn out. But imagine how you want it to be. Give it your greatest fantasies. And then when you come back into your everyday reality, just remember and stay connected with that fantasy. Don't get that fantasy or imagination is going, the connection with it is going to help you get unstuck from your present trauma and feeling locked and imprisoned. It's going to help you, but you've got to stay connected to it. And bit by bit, you'll see that you can, these are small little steps you can take to get out of your trauma. And I would always share and recommend people, don't overanalyze. Because the more you analyze, the more you go into your head. The more you go into your head, the more you go into your imprisonment. The more you can actually just get into your body, do something physical, even if it's just like taking a walk around your room. Or if you don't, if you have a tiny space, even if it means just closing your eyes or seeing a landscape on your laptop or the TV or something, and just closing your eyes and imagine that you're walking in that landscape. Even if you can't physically walk in your room, and you will see, I guarantee you, listeners, you will see the change in your mood as soon as you open your eyes.
The power of visualization, that is powerful.
The power of imagination, actually. The power that's within each one of us.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And no one can take that away from us. Every human being that I've studied that's been in prison, Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, many, many people. They were changed people after they came out of prison. Why? Because they actually developed this ability. They were physically in a cell, but they developed the ability to not be imprisoned in that cell. And that's what they came out and shared with the world. They suddenly had a huge mission, some of them, that they really felt compelled to walk and fulfill. And that happened while they were in prison.
So
trauma may not be what we think it is. It may be serving an incredibly useful an important function in our lives.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. And I just think there's some power in that because it's like Viktor Frankl, you know, there's so many in Auschwitz as well who were just,
exactly,
you know, who survived. And, you know, what is it that they had which enabled them to stay so positive, you know, and so...
I've seen that with my cancer patients.
Okay.
The ones that not just survive, but really engage and enjoy their lives.
Yeah.
And the ones that don't, that just sit in whatever they've got.
Yeah.
That's the biggest, if there is like a huge difference, that's the uniqueness. And that's the key of terminal, so-called terminal illness. So there's a lot here. And, you know, I would, again, really, it would be a great pleasure for me to share more things. Maybe if your listeners have enjoyed these podcasts, we can do some more on different topics later. But one thing I will definitely say, if they want to connect with me, I'm so happy to share some of my insights and, you know, tips on healing and things. All they need to do is connect with my website and contact me through the website, which is genuinehumanbeing.com.
Amazing, yeah. And listeners, please do get in touch if you have any questions or any comments about this episode, which I hope was an inspiration for you all. And I hope that you're able to imagine, just imagine. If you are struggling, then, you know, please do get in touch with Dr. Sangeeta, who will be able to assist you, I'm sure. And I will be leaving all her links in the description of this podcast episode. So again, thank you so much, Dr. Sangeeta, for another great episode.
Thank you, Anu, and a healthy, happy, really joyful and safe 2022 for everyone, all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. We all deserve it. So yeah.
Absolutely. Take care. God bless.
Take care, everybody. See you in the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next. And share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.